Let's get into the word this morning. I'm excited and I'm hoping that the Lord will speak to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the preaching of the word this morning. We come before you with humility and broken hearts today. We pray that your word would find a place in the crevices of our hearts. We pray that change and transformation will take from the inside out. We pray that today we'll be empowered and strengthened by your word. Satan, I remind you that you have no place in our midst in the name of Jesus. I come against every spirit of slumber, every spirit of sleeping in Jesus' name. I command you to leave God's people. I thank you, Father God, for your presence and for your glory in this place. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. In the States, I think it's Thanksgiving season. Am I correct? They're eating lots of turkey and things like that. It's a great tradition to have. Where people come together and they thank each other. I don't know if they thank God a lot, but I'm sure they do. Some do. It's a great, great season. Now, as we come close to the end of the year, 2022, in the year of the Lord, 2022, we are gathered here this morning just to take a moment to reflect on what God has done and what God has been doing in our lives and through us. And we take time to reflect on the goodness of the Lord. And I've come to realize that the enemy wants us to focus on what has not worked. The enemy wants you to see the blips. He wants you to focus on the spikes. He wants you to focus on the geyser that went bust in June. He wants you to think about the scratch that your car got yesterday. He wants you to focus on the fact that you have not been sleeping well lately. He doesn't want you to think about the joy that you've heard. He doesn't want you to think of the restoration that has taken place in some of your relationships. He does not want you to think about your children that have gone to school and come back home safely. A month or two ago, we received a circulation from our school telling us of an incident that happened on one of the schools, one of the Cura schools, where mom was driving out of the car park and she ran over a grade one kid and the kid died. The devil does not want you to think about how many times you have driven to work and you came back home safely. He wants you to think about how bad traffic was when you went to work. He does not want you to think about the fact that you're able to fill up your tank to go to work. He wants you to focus on the nasty boss and not to focus on the fact that in this season you've got a job. Does somebody hear me this morning? What has the Lord done in you this past season? There is a lot that God has done, and we need to take time to reflect on those things. The moment you start reflecting on those things, you will realize how blessed you've been. You think you've got problems? Go knock on your neighbor's door. You will realize you have it good. My son was talking with me a couple of weeks ago when it was pouring cats and dogs. And he said to me, Dad, can you think about the people who are staying under the bridge? I don't even know where that came from, but just said, can you just think about those guys who are staying under the bridge? It doesn't matter how they got there, but the fact is, there is a storm out there and this person is under a bridge. And you're in your home where it's not dripping through the roof. There is a lot to be grateful for. That is why we need to take time and to count our blessings. Luke 17 verse 12 is a very good picture around this matter of being grateful to the Lord. The Bible says, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Many of us are good at calling out at the Master. Jesus, Master, have pity on me. I need a little bit of change. I need a little bit of peace. We're good at calling out at Jesus like these 10 lepers did. And the Bible says, they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice. They were not embarrassed. They were not ashamed. They were crying out for pity and for mercy. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. How many of us have been cleansed of issues in our lives? How many of us have been sorted out? Do you know that there are some things that happen to us that almost epitomizes leprosy? Where people around you don't want to be around you because they think whenever they see your number coming through, you're looking for help. They start avoiding your number. They start avoiding picking calls from you, from me. It's a condition. Because anybody who had leprosy was not allowed to be close to ordinary people. But they cried out to Jesus, go show yourself. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Hallelujah. When you see somebody dancing in the house of the Lord, you don't know what God has done in their lives. Give them space. Allow them to be crazy before God. Because God would have picked them up from the deep Mary Claire and put their feet on the King's highway. Hallelujah. This man went back to Jesus. With a loud voice, he was praising God. The same voice he raised crying out for help, he used the same voice to say, Jesus, thank you. We seem to lose our voices when things are well. We seem to lose our ability to shout when the breakthrough has come. And yet when we were in dire need, we cried our blues out. We cried to Jesus, and Jesus said, go show yourself. And I'm saying to us today, are we not able with the same vigor, with the same fervency to praise the Lord? With the same fervency with which we're praying and crying out and fasting and the breakthrough happened, shall we use the same vigor today to come back to Jesus and say, you're a good, good father. That is who you are. And I'm loved by you. That is who I am. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. He was not entitled. The Samaritans and the Jewish did not see eye to eye. The Samaritans were seen as the impure breed. They were seen as a mixture of Philistines and the Jewish nation. And according to the Jewish breed, these people were unclean, therefore have nothing to do with them. And therefore this Samaritan realized that this Jewish rabbi had ministered to him regardless of the fact that he was Samaritan. That's why the Bible mentioned he was a Samaritan. He was not entitled. These other nine, I'm sure they were Jewish boys who felt it was their right to be healed. That is why they never went back. But this Samaritan boy said, who am I? Who am I to have received such help from a Jewish rabbi? I have to go back and show my gratitude. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Could it be that out of the 10, only the one was cleansed? No. All of them were cleansed, but they had different attitudes. Were not all 10 cleansed? Jesus knew that all of them were cleansed, but this was a rhetoric question, wondering, what's so different with the other 9? Where are the other 9? And heaven is asking, where are you?
Where are you? Are you so offended that I've not given you cheese on your croissants? Are you so offended that I haven't given you cafe latte? When you went out for breakfast, you only had enough for rooibos. You're offended by the fact that you're not able to have a cup of cappuccino. Maybe you got the small one instead of the mega one at Mug and Bean. You know what I'm talking about? There are people who recycle their tea bags. I'm talking about recycling tea bags. That tea bag has to be baptized in that water at least 3 times before it's let go. Mama will come with a small lunchbox. You're done with that? Put it in here. Tomorrow morning, you're going to use it. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? That brings me to the title of my message this morning. I want to talk about an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. This is a disposition of being grateful for something or towards someone. It is a way of life that greatly enriches the one who possesses it and the recipients of that attitude. An attitude of gratitude. Those of us who are married, how many times have we appreciated what our spouses have done or continue to do? We take it for granted that there's a meal. We take it for granted that there's enough money to pay the bills. I'm talking about a disposition of being grateful towards something or towards someone. It is a way of life that you and I need to master. Now, this morning, I want to talk about 2 aspects with regards to being grateful. 2 aspects relating to thanksgiving. Let's dive straight into it. Number one, I want to talk about the physical expression of appreciation. The physical expression of appreciation. It is important for you to understand that there is a place in our walk, in our lives, to be expressive when it comes to being grateful. I understand that us gentlemen are not very expressive. I'm now generalizing. Because I've seen husband and wife where the husband talks more than the wife. But generally speaking, men are not very expressive. But I want you to understand there is a place that when you are grateful, you ought to express it. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, when you look at the 2 testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you find that the 2 covenants place different emphasis on this issue of gratitude. In the Old Testament, there was a close link between knowing that you are grateful and the act of expressing that gratitude. So in the Old Testament, it was more about outward expression. Whether it was an outward expression of getting cleansed, that is why blood would be sprinkled over people as a sign that you've been cleansed. That is why they had to slaughter animals. They had to get this goat and they call it a scapegoat. Sins will be put upon this goat and this goat will be sent out into the desert for it to die. There was always an outward expression of things. That was the Old Testament. So there was an expectation that if you are grateful for something, you are supposed to express it. And we can learn a lot from the Old Covenant where you had to express your gratitude. And this is our realities. How do you feel after you've got out of your way, you went into Dis-Chem, you bought the best cologne you can afford for somebody's birthday. You hand it over to them, they open it, they close it, and they walk away. How do you feel when people do that? There is an expectation from you to receive a hug or a thank you. wow, I look forward to wearing this perfume or this cologne. There's an expression that is expected whenever you're grateful. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. Have you been expressive enough with the people around you? Have you been expressive enough with Jehovah God for what He has done for you? You know, I've come to realize that sometimes we are not expressive, one, because we are not aware that there is a place for us to be expressive. You know, mamas, daddies, you know, when your child finishes eating there and they don't say thank you, what do you do? Normally I say to them, don't act worse than a cat or a dog. Because a dog cannot utter thank you. Okay? But a dog works its tail to show that it's happy about something. What am I saying to my kids? I'm saying don't be like an animal that is not able to express its gratitude. Say, Mama, thank you for the food. Now, if this is the expectation we have here on earth, how much more in heaven? And we see that expectation when Jesus said, were they not 10 that were healed? Jesus was expecting them to come back and say, thank you, Master. And I want to say to you, maybe 10% are grateful. Sometimes we are not grateful because we take people for granted. We take God for granted. There was a time where I was just thinking, that's when I used to get a salary from Laban or Pharaoh, somebody I used to work for, but now I'm no longer working for them. And I'm saying, when last did I say to the Lord, thank you that I received my paycheck? Huh? COVID made us to appreciate our paycheck. Because during COVID, some people were even told on the 24th, sorry, there isn't enough to pay you. And I realized that, no, I'm taking this for granted. I need to say, Lord, thank you that I've been paid. When last did you say, Lord, thank you that on the 25th of the month, I received that notification? I'm talking about taking God for granted. Sometimes we don't appreciate the gift that we have received. We don't appreciate leaders in our churches. Because you know what? They're supposed to do it. They are our leaders. This is what they should do. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, people were grateful for a lot of things. But one of the things they were grateful for was the fact that their sins were covered on a yearly basis. They understood there's nothing that they can do to make it. And therefore, whenever the season of atonement came, they were so grateful that one more year, the Lord has been gracious. The Lord has shown us mercy. The Lord has covered our sins. And take note, they were grateful for the covering of their sins, not for the removal of their sins. Every single year where the high priest had to walk into the Holy of Holies, they were being reminded that there is no way you can be righteous by yourself. That was the old covenant. How much more the new covenant, in which we know that our sins are not covered, but our sins are wiped out clean. Glory be to God. How much more the new covenant? You see, whenever somebody was grateful in the old covenant, it would be accompanied by an offering, a sacrifice. That is where we talk about it, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Okay? Let's look at some scriptures. Leviticus 22, verse 29. And when you will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to Jehovah, offer it at your own will. You consider what God has done. Out of your volition, you bring something. Whether it's a goat, it's a pigeon, it's a lamb, it's a ram. Whatever it is, they were being told, do it at your own will. Because it comes from a place of gratitude. A place of being grateful. And this morning, I want to encourage you to think about that and say, what shall I render to the Lord? for all that he has done for me. Glory be to God. 2 Chronicles 29 verse 31. And Hezekiah answered and said, and you have consecrated yourselves to Jehovah. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of Jehovah. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings. And as many as were of a free heart brought burnt offerings. Again, it's a free will offering. So this tells us that when you are grateful to the Lord, you ought to express it with something tangible in the form of an offering. Whether it's you saying, you know what, guys, for the coming 2 months, I'm going to come and do certain things in the house of God. That's one way of offering to the Lord. Glory be to God. But there had to be something. So this was an outward expression of one's gratitude. And I want to ask you today, have you been thinking about this season in your life? And what has the Lord placed on your heart as an expression of your gratitude? So there is a place for that when you are grateful. Psalms 116, the psalmist gives emphasis to the expression of one's gratitude. Psalms 116, verse 17, I had my wife quoting this earlier on. He says here, I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will offer you, O God, a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Something has to die. Okay? Otherwise, it won't be a sacrifice. And I want to challenge you today. Be like David who says, I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. The psalmist was referring to a special offering he was committing to present before God as an expression of his appreciation. I want to encourage you tonight to read the entire chapter 116. To understand why was this man so grateful? Why was he saying, I cannot just go to the house of the Lord empty-handed. Okay? Just for completeness, let me read a couple of scriptures from that portion of Psalms 116. I don't have it on my slides. He says here, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. I can go on and on and on. That is what inspires him in verse 17. It says, I will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. He was thankful to the Lord for him hearing his prayers. God had heard his prayers. God had delivered him from death. God had guided his steps. God had freed him from chains of prison. This man was grateful. Now he was not going to simply say, thank you. The psalmist wasn't just come to the Lord and say, Daddy, thank you. You are a good, good father. He was saying, you are a good, good father. And this is my token of appreciation. Lord, it might not be much, but for me, it is a sacrifice. Now, it's so important for us to understand these principles. Secondly, in the Old Testament, gratitude was expressed also using words. So it wasn't just about money, 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 goats, goats, chicken and all that stuff. No. Whenever they wanted to express their gratitude to the Lord, they would open their mouths and they would praise his holy name. That is why this morning I made us to sing that song again. Where we're saying, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. You see, Often the act of praise is expressed in singing, whether done in private or in public. And I want to encourage you, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You might not make it for the worship team, but you make it for the worship team in heaven. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The angels love it. The Father in heaven taps his feet when we praise him from the bottom of our hearts. Glory be to God. That is what Paul and Silas experienced. They were in the inner part of the prison. And the Bible says they chose to praise God. They chose to magnify the Lord. And heaven was moved and heaven came down. I want to challenge you today. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Those of you who have got a privilege of having your own cars, when you go to work, turn that cabin into a place of worship. Let people look at you in traffic and think you're cuckoos, because they see you doing things there behind the steering wheel. He has made me glad. I drive a lot during the week for my work. And then one guy decides, can I please hike? Can I catch a lift with you from somewhere here to where we work? So it happened a couple of times and I'm like, hey, it's not working. I'm missing my moment with the Lord in the car. I use my time in the car to pray, speak in tongues, to worship, to praise. And with this guy next to me, I can't do it. And I send him a voice note like, you know what? I would really like to help you, but it's not working for me. I'm not able to do what I need to do. I did not go into details as to what I do in my car. But this is my thing. I use my time in the car as a time of worship, as a time to praise. And I want to challenge you today. Whenever you get a chance and an opportunity by yourself, when I do dishes. Last night I was doing dishes there by myself. Everybody's gone to sleep. It's time for me to worship God. I put stuff on my ears and I worship God doing dishes. So it doesn't matter what you're doing, you can turn that moment into a moment of praise. Does somebody hear me this morning? So praise is a powerful way of expressing our appreciation unto the Lord. And the psalmist did a great job. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Psalms 92 verse 1. He says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Glory be to God. It is a good thing. And I encourage you today, you might not have been able to bring an offering today, but you can give an offering of praise unto the Lord. You can declare His holiness, His righteousness, His attributes as you praise Him. Hallelujah. And I want you to know heaven is moved when we do that. Psalms 33 verse 2. Praise the Lord with a harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Psalm 7 verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Praising the Lord is what we're made for. We were made to glorify the King of glory. And that is why the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. You want God's presence in your life? Be in the habit of praising Him when you rise up in the morning. Be in the habit of praising Him when you're all by yourself. When you do that, His presence comes. And when His presence comes, it comes with everything that He contains. Glory be to God. So that is what we find in the Old Testament. A physical expression of our gratitude. A physical expression of our appreciation. Let's take it up to the new covenant. What happens, what emphasis is placed around thanksgiving in the new covenant? Now remember, we do not discard the old covenant. We simply fulfill the old covenant. And therefore we carry with us the physical expression of thanksgiving, but we add on top of it. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus said, I did not come to remove the commandments, but I came to fulfill them. And therefore, the old covenant is still very relevant today. So we take it with us. Now, what is the emphasis in the New Testament? So number two, this is the second aspect of thanksgiving when I talk about today. The new covenant talks about the being of thanksgiving. It talks about the being of thanksgiving, the living out of thanksgiving, the attitude of thanksgiving. Because I can tell you, you can bring millions here, but if the attitude is wrong, it won't be accepted in heaven. So the new covenant has got another twist around this issue of gratitude. It's about the being. It's the living out. So whilst the approach to thanksgiving in the Old Testament was easily understood by physical expression, in the New Testament, thanksgiving is more about being and one's attitude. So now, what are we talking about here? Thanksgiving for the New Testament believer has to do with being in agreement with Scripture and being open to the confession of biblical truth. Huh? Yes. Your thanksgiving as a New Testament believer goes beyond just expressing it with offerings and being present, but goes on to touch the aspect of being. Your one way of being grateful when it comes to the new covenant is to live your life in agreement with the taught scriptures. You cannot say you are grateful for the salvation you have received and yet you keep on living like a pagan. Ooh, does somebody hear me this morning? It does not work like that. The moment you live like an infidel, sorry to use that word, the moment you live like a non-believer, you are not appreciating the finished works of Calvary. The only way to say thank you to Jesus is by saying, your word is my command. Your wish is what I will do. When he says forgive, you forgive. Hallelujah. That is a grateful person. That is why the Apostle Paul says, you can prophesy. You can give as much as you want. But if you don't have love, you are an empty gong. We are talking about the being of a child of God. So it goes beyond bringing a thanksgiving offering today. You see, there's a scripture where the Apostle Paul was talking to the church at Corinth regarding taking of Holy Communion. And he said to them, you need to be careful how you take Holy Communion. He says, some of you have profaned the table of the Lord. And as a result, some of you are sick. And some have even died. Now, a lot of people don't understand what Paul is talking about there. Paul is not talking about how humble you look when you're taking Holy Communion. He is not talking about how you wait for one another when you take Holy Communion. No. He is saying that it's profanity when you take Holy Communion and yet your lifestyle is anti-Jesus. Okay, very, very important for us to understand. It was going beyond just them not waiting for one another. He was talking about when you take Holy Communion, examine yourself. That is why he said, let each man examine himself. He was talking about the way you live out there must be in line with the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And this morning, saints, we've got to be people that fully align themselves with biblical truth. If you are grateful for the suffering and the passion of the cross, you don't just say thank you for the cross. Let your thank you be expressed by the way you live. Let your thank you be expressed by your thought patterns. Let your thank you be expressed by the love you show to non-believers and to your enemies. Because Jesus says, love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. If they are hungry, feed them. Do you see? This is a higher standard of being grateful. That's why the Bible talks about, we know that the old covenant was a shadow of things that were yet to come. Now, here, this is proper thanksgiving. This is when we are able to come in tens and knowing very well that it's not just an outward expression. The Bible says, these people, they worship me with their mouths, but their hearts are far away from me. When God was talking to the prophet, when David was anointed, he said to Samuel, Samuel, don't look on the outside. Don't look at how tall this guy is. Don't look at how broad-shouldered this guy is. No, 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 no. My judgment is not based on outward offerings, but it's based on the intentions of the heart. So saints, I might have brought thousands of rands today as a thanksgiving offering. But if my life is not aligned with kingdom, I am wasting. I am wasting because it won't be accepted. I want to ask you this morning, how grateful have you been for the cross? Romans 6 verse 17. Well, before that, there's a quote I've got here. Your attitude of gratitude is more important than your act of gratitude. Your attitude of gratitude is more important than your act. So your act must follow your attitude. It's like guys like, my leader. You're my leader. I'll go with you in the fire, my leader. And then you turn around. You're like, hey guys, this guy. Every time he wants us in church. Your attitude is more important than your actions. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Romans 6:17. Let's land this plane. But thanks be to our God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. You used to be slaves of sin. But now you're slaves of righteousness. And it becomes an important area where we are thanking God that He delivered us from sin into His righteousness. And we rightly align ourselves with His righteousness. And that is how we show Him our gratitude. When we think of the cross, when we think of the 6 hours that the man hung on the tree, when we think of the blood that poured out of his side, when we think of them pulling his beard, we don't just say, oh, shame, Jesus. No. We say, how can I live my life to honor him? You know, there are people, there are kids right now who live the best of their lives because they're saying, I don't want to disappoint my mom. Kids, the best way of saying thank you to your mama and daddy is to do well at school. You hear what I'm saying? The best way of saying thank you, daddy, for paying so much money to take me to these private schools is to behave yourself. Huh? Guys, don't just say thank you, daddy, for paying my fees. Show me the results. Well, I'm gracious, but I want to see results. I'd rather have you not say thank you with your mouth, but when I look at your result, they're calling me for awards. That's good enough. I might be gracious, you know, but there are some who don't say thank you. At the same time, they are always in detention. Young man, we're going to start speaking a different language in this house. Okay. So, Paul's gratitude is derived from God's people being obedient to the doctrine that was delivered to them. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So it becomes important for you to always reflect on your life and say, is this how I can be grateful for the cross? Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And everything, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, so important. And I'm sure today this will change a lot in our lives in terms of how we say thank you to the Lord. Let's lay down our lives. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not die but have everlasting life. 1 John 3 verse 16. Let's all lay down our lives for one another. So there is a place where Jesus lays down His life, but there's a place where you and I ought to lay down our lives for Him and for His people. Let me read you the last scripture. Now the psalmist, where we read in Psalms 116, where he vowed to go beyond just thanksgiving, just a thanksgiving offering. He now says in verse 12, what shall I give to Jehovah for all His benefits towards me? Now look at what he says. I will take the cup of salvation and call on the name of Jehovah. In other words, he was saying, I will live right so that the salvation of the Lord upon my life can be seen by all. He says here, and call on the name of Jehovah. I will pay my vows to Jehovah now in the presence of all His people. I will not sell out. I will pay my vows. I've committed to live a righteous life. I've committed to honor God. Even if it costs me my job. He says here, before, in the presence of all His people, I will live my life in an upright way. I will pay my vows. I will not backtrack. There's a price to be paid. There is a price to be paid. And that is how we say, thank you, Lord. So today, let's commit to say thank you by being expressive in a way that people can see.